Your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. 11th chapter of Hebrews in your Scofield Bible, page 1302. That's 1302. We'll be reading verses 23 through 26. We'll read the verses responsively. Shall we stand, please, as we always do for the reading of God's Word? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And let's pray. And Father, we probably couldn't figure this out if we wanted to, but multiplied hundreds and thousands of hours have gone into this service alone, not counting a wealth of years of experience on the part of our preacher, on the part of those who sang tonight, the part of those who have helped prepare for this time that we spend together. Now, a lot of hours will be wasted unless we, of course, hear from Thee. And we come expecting to hear from Thee. We come expecting to hear from the man of God that which You've laid upon his heart. Truly, our opportunity is unique. Our privilege is far beyond wonderful. Help us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to put your thinking caps on tonight, and I want you to listen very carefully. I doubt if you ever heard a sermon exactly like this one. You've heard better sermons, but in fact, the truth is, I find it hard to believe what I'm going to preach tonight. If I were God, it wouldn't have worked out this way. But if I were God, we'd be in a pretty big mess down here anyway. But there's some things in the Bible that I can't understand, but I preach them. I was telling the pastors a while ago in the pastor study, I said, tonight I'm going to preach something I can't understand. Brother Young said, I do that all the time. And Brother Scott said, that's my ministry too. And so it does me good every once in a while to feel like they feel all the time. But I want to read an amazing verse to you. You read it a while ago, but don't turn to it. Just listen as I read it. An amazing verse. It said, Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, you notice why. See, Moses could have been the king of Egypt, but he turned it down to associate himself with a bunch of slave people, a bunch of Jews, slaves in Egypt. Now, get this. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Reproach. Didn't say the blessings of God, the reproach of Christ. Now notice what it said. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I called your attention. That little line that says recompense, that little phrase, recompense of reward. The meaning of that word recompense is the reason that Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and become the king of all of Egypt. Now, I want you to listen to me. Father, bless me as I speak. I pray you'd use me to be a blessing to the people of God. Amen. I hope you'll follow me on purpose tonight. What I'm going to say will apply to most of us. In fact, there'll be very few people here tonight to whom this message will not apply. I ask you a question. Has there been a time in your life when you drifted from God for a season? Are you thinking about a time in your life where you drifted away from God for a while? Has there been a time in your life when you did your own will and not His will? Can you think about that time when you did what you wanted to do instead of what He wanted you to do? Can you think about a hiatus in your Christian life? A little parenthesis, please, if you please, where I took the place of Him and where my will took the place of His will. Perhaps a season of sin into which you wandered or chose to go. Or perhaps, maybe even now, there are many people who are less than you once were, and you've drifted some from what you used to be. Maybe God called you to do something special, and maybe you have postponed that surrender to that call, or maybe you did not postpone it, but you did for a while did, and you're now back at the call of God. I'm simply asking the question, have you ever come to a time in your life when you had a little hiatus, when you drifted away from God? First, may I say this. By the way, if you have or are, listen carefully to this sermon. First, may I say you're in good company. Moses killed a man, and it cost him 40 years. We often think that Moses was in the wilderness 40 years in preparation for his ministry. And in a sense, that was true. But he never would have been there if he hadn't killed a man, because he would have been indicted, no doubt, and tried and convicted for murder. And it cost him 40 years. You're in good company. Peter cursed and swore, denied the faith, denied the church, and denied his Lord. If there's been a time or is a time in your life when you were a season in your life when you were away from God just a bit, you're in good company. Paul had a brief lapse back to the old Judaism, had his head shaved and took a Jewish vow after he had preached to so many people to leave the old Jewish tradition and Jewish custom. Are you in a little hiatus now, or have you been? You're in good company. Noah became drunk, had a season away from God. Jonah fled from the will of God, and after being in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, he came back to God, and God used him again. But Jonah had that little hiatus, that little period where he was away from God. Jeremiah quit the ministry. He said, there's no need, I'm tired of it. He quit the ministry and got him what we'd call maybe a little log cabin out in the country, and just retired from the ministry. And then he said later, while he was there, the word of God was like a fire in his bones, and he could not contain himself. You're in good company. David had a season of sin. All of us know about that. You're in good company. Abraham left the will of God and fled to Egypt. And you know the story about the little maid that he brought back, whom he got pregnant and gave birth to an illegitimate child by Abraham. Have you had some period in your life where you've drifted away from God? Or are you in that period now? You're in good company. Isaac did the same thing that Abraham did as far as going down to Egypt was concerned and leaving the will of God for his life. Jacob left the will of God for 20 years and had a season of 20 years in his life away from God. John Mark turned back on the first missionary journey. I say you're in good company. Nehemiah became weary of the attack that he underwent as the wall was being rebuilt, and he ceased building the wall for a while until the young preacher, an old preacher named Haggai and Zechariah, went around the country saying, let's get back to building the wall again. And even Nehemiah became somewhat discouraged. Job became proud. Job, who took it when he lost all, he became proud because he took it. And God had to give him a little sermon there in the 39th and 40th chapters of Job, and getting Job right with God. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you have ever had in your life a season, maybe it was a month or two, maybe it was a year or two, maybe it was 10 years, maybe like Moses, it was 40 years. But if you've ever had a time in your life where you had a little hiatus from God, a season of time, you're away from God, or maybe you are tonight, please listen to what I'm going to say. What I'm going to teach you is in the Bible, but I must admit, I don't understand it. Neither does Brother Scott or Brother Moore. But I don't understand it. I have studied every word in this book of chapter of Hebrews, where it said esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. I have studied every word, and I cannot come up with anything but what I'm going to give you tonight. Listen carefully to it. Moses had wasted 40 years. He now comes back, and look what God promised him. Moses said, I'm going to choose to suffer the reproach of Christ with a bunch of slave people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season or be the king of Egypt. And Moses said, the reason is I am respecting the recompense of reward. Now, what does the word recompense mean? It means to get back what you lost. It means to get back what you lost. God said to Moses, you've wasted 40 years, but you can still have the same reward that you got if you hadn't wasted 40 years. Now, he lost 40 years. He lost a lot of opportunities. What he's saying is, when you come back to work, I'll give you the same wages you got when you left. That's what he's saying. Now, you see, God knows that we're human. God knows that we're flesh. God said to Moses, he said, I will recompense your reward. I will pay back to you the reward that you lost. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me explain. In Matthew 20, verses 1 through 15, you'll have a hard time explaining this one away. There's a story of a householder who needed some folks to work for him. He goes down to the city square, finds some folks early in the morning to go to work for him. He says, I'll give you a penny. Now, that word penny is not the kind of penny we have, but that'll be the wages for the day. He needs some more workers. He comes back at 9 o'clock in the morning and hires some more. They say, what do you pay us? He said, whatever is just. Don't forget that, whatever is just. They go to work. He comes back at noon. He needs some more workers. And what do you pay? I'll pay you whatever is just, he says. So they go to work. Now, some folks started to work early in the morning. Some started to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. Some started to work at noon. And he comes back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and says, I need some more workers. What do you pay us? I'll pay you whatever is just. Now, he's got some that been working all day. Some went to work at 9. Some went to work at noon. Some went to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, when 6 o'clock came and quitting time came, would you get your big feet out of the way? When quitting time came, it wasn't your feet, I'm sorry. But sorry about that. But the quitting time came, he paid the people that came to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the same thing he paid folks working all day. They got the same reward. The folks that came to work at noon got the same pay that folks worked all day. And the folks that came to work at 9 o'clock in the morning got the same. So the fellow came to work early in the morning got the same as the fellow came to work at 9, and the same as the fellow came to work at noon, and the same as the fellow who came to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the fellows began to complain. And they said, that's not fair. And in so many words, God said, I'll decide what's fair. I'll decide what's fair. Basically, they got the same reward. Now, listen carefully. There are some things that you have lost. There are some things that you will never get back. For example, you've lost opportunities, and you cannot get them back. During the hiatus, when you're away from God or drifted away, you've lost the days wasted, the time wasted. You've lost blessings that you'll never regain. Perhaps the same position you'll never get back. You may have been pastor of a church, but you forfeited that right. You may have been a deacon, and you can't be a deacon anymore. And you've lost perhaps the same position, and also you've lost results that you could have had. But God is saying, I can't give you back your lost days. I can't give you back your lost opportunities. I can't give you back your lost blessings. I can't give you back your old position, maybe. But I will give you the same reward. Now you say, that doesn't make sense. Well, God doesn't need to check with you what makes sense. What does it mean? It means tonight, if you drifted away from God and you once knew His power, you can have that same power back if you come back to God. You come back. If you knew what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit, bless God, you come back to God tonight and you can have just as much power as you had before you drifted. That isn't all. When you come back, you can have the same fellowship that you had. You can be as close to God as you were when you went away. Tonight, that sweet fellowship you once had when you fellowship with Christ, and he walked with me, and he talked with me, and he told me I was his own, and the joy we had as we tarried there, none of us ever known. God says, hey, come on back to me. You can have the same fellowship with me that you had before. That isn't all. God said, you can have the same power that you had. You can have the same fellowship that you had. Oh, I love this one. God said you can have the same standing that you had before, too. Before you left me, I washed all your sins away and took them out of my book. And those sins are still out of my book. Before you left me, I refused to impute your sins against you. And I still haven't written down your sins against you because you're my child still. And I refuse to impute your sins against you. Come back tonight if you're away from God. Come back. You can have the same mighty power you once had. You can have the same fellowship with God you once had. And bless God, you can have the same standing before God. God says, come back. I'll give you the same reward. I'll give you the same power. I'll give you the same fellowship. I'll give you the same standing. And by the way, you'll have the same promises you had when you left. God doesn't have a set of promises for those who have not gone into sin and for those that have gone into sin. You come back to God and every promise in that book will still be yours. Every prayer promise will still be yours. Every promise about the mighty power of God will still be yours. God said, I'll give you the same power, same fellowship, same standing, same promises. Yes, and the same wages. Same reward. Listen carefully. Here are two Howells Anderson College students. Here's one over here, we'll say. And this is a true story. Two Howells Anderson College students. One, they enrolled the same year. One goes through in 4 years. What does he get? A Bachelor of Science degree. Signed by Ray Bordway, Jack Howells, and Wendell Evans. But here's the same... The same year this fella enrolled, I could give you the names, I will not. They enrolled another fella. He dropped out of college for a while, came back. He got expelled once and came back. After 11 years, he walked up the same steps the other fella walked 7 years before. Shook hands with the same chancellor and the same president and got the same type degree as the fella did 7 years before. Now, he lost some blessings. He lost some fellowship. He lost some opportunities. But, oh, listen to me. God said, I'll give you the same degree. Same degree. Now, I'm trying to tell you, you come back to God tonight, you may have wasted some years, but God said, I'll give you the same reward. You've lost some opportunities, and don't lose them. You've lost some fellowship, and don't lose it. But God, I don't understand this. I'm not sure I believe it, but it says it in the book. Let me illustrate again. Two men graduate the same night. Another same these two actual men. Real case. Same night, they graduated. One was 22 years of age. The other was 50. Now the one 22, if he lives to be 70 years old and conservatively 70, he's got 48 years to serve God. The fellow who's 50 has 20 years to serve God. But the night they walked up here, they got the same reward. A Bachelor of Science degree. Now again, I say, I can't understand this. I don't understand that parable in Matthew chapter 20. It doesn't make sense to me that God would pay the same fellow the same wages to the guy that worked 3 hours, the guy that worked 12 hours. But I don't have to understand God. He's God. And God said... Moses came back to the will of God because he respected the recompense of the reward. Look at Moses after he came back. Led the Israelites out of Egypt. Led them across the Red Sea. Led them to follow the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Got water from the rock in Horeb. Got manna from God. And for 40 years, led the Israelites to the door of the promised land. And finally, they went in. Though he did not, they went in. I'm saying Moses did pretty well after he wasted 40 years. Now, if you wasted 40 years, get back to God. God can still use you.
If you wasted 20 years, get back to God and God can still use you. If you wasted 1 year, get back to God and God can still use you. You'll lose something, but you'll have the same power available, the same spirit available, the same promises available, the same hopes available, and God said he'll reward you like he rewarded the fellow of the fellow. Look at Jonah. Jonah left the will of God. But look what happened when he got back. God used him to have the greatest revival meeting in the history of mankind. Look at Peter. Cursed and sworn. Denied the faith. Denied the Lord. Denied the church. He came back. What happened? Stood up in the back end of a Chevrolet pickup truck on the corner of Akron and Main Streets in Jerusalem. Stood there and preached the gospel. He had no church building. He had no pulpit. He stood there and preached. And that same fellow that cursed and swore 50 days before came back to God. And God used him to get 3,000 people saved from every nation on the face of the earth. Look at Paul. Came back from his hiatus to take the gospel to the Western world, and you wouldn't be sitting here tonight if Paul hadn't gotten right with God. Let me say this. There's some people who 50 years from tonight won't be sitting in church if you don't get right with God. Look at Jacob. 20 years away from God. And Jacob came back to God and became a prince of God. His name was changed to Israel, which means prince. Look at Jeremiah. His greatest years came after he quit the ministry for a while. Look at John Mark. Got scared on his first missionary journey. Quit. Came back to mama. But he became the writer of the second book of the New Testament. He became Paul's faithful friend and a wonderful preacher of the gospel. I'm trying to say tonight, there are very few people in all this world haven't had some time, whether it be hours or days or weeks or months or years or decades away from God, but God says, come on back. I'll bless you when you get back. Look at Nehemiah. Finished the wall after he had his hiatus. I can't explain this. I can't begin to explain it. Unless it's just the mercy and grace of God. I can't explain why God would take a murderer like Moses and use him to be the great leader of Israel. I can't explain why God would take a fellow like Paul, who was also a murderer, and use him to carry the gospel to the Western world. I can't understand why God would allow David to write the best Psalms he ever wrote after he came back and after he got back in the will of God. You say, why? I don't know why, but our God's a merciful God who loves his people, and God says, come on back. I'll use you again. I'll tell you one reason he does it. He wants you back. He wants you back. He loves you. Another reason, he wants you to have all that you can get. Another reason, he wants you to know he still loves you. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. Let me tell you something. When that boy got it back from his father's household in Luke chapter 15, that boy was restored to everything he lost. His father said, I'll provide for you. I'll buy your clothes. I used to. Here's a suit. I'll buy you shoes. I used to. Here's some shoes. I'll buy you nice things. I used to. Here's a ring. You're still my son. And I can still use you. Go to the field and work. That's what you would have been doing. Go back to the field and work. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you tonight. God wants you back. Let me use one illustration. It's rather lengthy. With this, I'll close the sermon. Last Monday night, I was preaching to my good friend, Brother Herring, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. I looked out, and sitting right over here was a graduate of Howells Anderson College. I think I'll give his name. His name was Joe Elwell. Pastor of a church in Morgantown, West Virginia. I won't give you the name of the other fellow. He was sitting right here. Fine young man. Now, here's the story. Joe Elwell came to our college as a single boy. And he won't mind me telling this. If he does, I'm going to tell it anyway. But he came to our college as a single boy. He didn't know at those days that rules were kept. Reminds me of people that would have BB guns shooting up in the... But anyway, Joe Elwell broke some rules. I don't know if he got expelled. That's not the issue. He may have quit, but he should have gotten expelled. He was a little bit of a rebel. He came back to school. He quit then. I think he may have moved out west for a while back home. He came back to school. Married one of our First Baptist girls. He came. He dropped out. He came. He dropped out. He came. He dropped out. Thirteen years after he enrolled, he walked across this platform and got his degree. Sitting right over here last Monday night was a young man, hadn't been shaving very long. Came to our school, model student. 4 years, I guess. Graduated. Fine young man. Pastoring a church. Service ended. They both came by to shake my hand. I hugged one of them. Want to guess who it was? I hugged Joe Elwell because my mind wandered back to when he was a little bit rebellious and left college but came back and for 13 years struggled to get his degree. I want to tell you tonight that Joe Elwell has the same standing with his preacher that that young man had that went through in 4 years. God loves you. And God wants you back. And God says, I'll give you the same standing with me that you had before if you'll come back. I'll give you the same power that you had before if you'll come back. By the way, can you imagine how Joe Elwell felt Monday night? He walked across the platform. About three times the man he was when he first enrolled in school. Big guy. I hugged all of him I could. His preacher was proud of him. Especially proud of him. Just as proud of him as I was that fella who went through straight through in 4 years. What? You said, Brother Howells, wait a minute. You think they got the same reward? The reward of serving God is a WD degree. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Ladies and gentlemen, all over this room tonight, there are people who are serving God who've never drifted from the will of God for their lives. On the other hand, there are people who've drifted from the will of God. I want to tell you something. Your preacher's mighty proud of you. Your preacher's proud of you young ladies that had babies outside of wedlock but overcame it, and now you're serving God. I'm proud of young men that drifted away from God, then got away from God, but you're back serving God. I'm proud of you people that grew up in First Baptist Church and then had your hiatus. Then you had your own children. Now you're back in First Baptist or your own children. I'm proud of you tonight. And God said, come on back. I'll give you the same standing you had before. I'll give you the same fellowship with me that you had before. I'll give you the same power that you had before. I'll give you the same promises that you had before. And you and I can be just as close as you ever were. I can't understand this passage. I can't understand it. But I know this. God said, Moses, 4 years you've wasted. You'll never get those 40 years back. You've been blessed those 40 years. You'll never get those blessings back. But Moses, if you'll come back to me, I'll give you back the reward you could have had. And Moses considered the recompense of reward and said, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. Ask a question tonight. Are you away from God? Oh, you say, I tell you, I don't miss you. I said, are you away from God? Well, I tell you what, I haven't been to a movie. I said, are you away from God? And God comes back and says, come on back. We can have the same sweet fellowship we had before you left. I can give you the same wonderful promises that I gave you before you left. And I'll give you that same power. If you'll pay the price, I'll give you that same mighty power that you had before you left. I just hate to tell you this story. And I won't go into it because I've mentioned it before. One of the best Christians I know is Dr. Joe Bowen. By the way, he's out of the hospital now. He's back at a motel here in the area, stay for a few days under the care of the doctor and soon to go back home. Before long, he'll be back in the pulpit, screaming again, pounding the pulpit. Joe Boyd and I are voted out of the Dallas Baptist Association. I had a bigger church than he did. And Joe got a little bit. He quit evangelism and finally ended up, and I mentioned this before, a little church in South Texas, in Baytown, Texas, under a tent. And one night, I was preaching in Dallas, Texas, and Joe came to hear me. Again, I've told you this many times. And I said, Joe, you ought to be back in evangelism again. He said, nobody knows me. Southern Baptists won't have me. I don't know any independent Baptist preachers. I said, Joe, I do. Let me book you for a year. I came back home. My sister and I got calendar down. And I called all over this nation. And I said, I want you to trust me, fellas. I've got a winner for you. His name is Joe Boyd, a former All-American football player. And I'll promise you, Joe Boyd will do a good job for you. And Joe Boyd resigned that little church in Baytown, Texas, and came and back to evangelism. And the rest is history. And God used him. A little hiatus. He wasn't away from God, but he was away from evangelism, his heart's calling. And now for these years, 80 years of age now, 80 years of age, get his old ticker back in shape. He's going to be on the road again, preaching revivals all over the country. God comes to you tonight, and he says, don't feel so bad if you've been away. Jonah was. Don't feel so bad if you drifted away. Abraham did. Don't feel so bad if you've had a little hiatus outside the will of God. Isaac did. Don't feel so bad. Jacob did. Even the Apostle Paul did. The beloved David, a man after God's own heart, he did. Come back tonight. He stands with his arms open like the prodigal's father, looking to see if you'll walk down the aisle, watching in the balcony to see those who've been away from God, if you'll come down the aisle, watching down these aisles to see if you'll come back to God. And I promise you, the blessed Savior will be at the end of every aisle with his arms open, ready to restore to you the fellowship you had, the joy that you had, the power that you had, the promises that you had, the book that you had, and the work that you had. Come back to him tonight. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing. You know who you are, and you know who God's talking to tonight. Come as the choir sings.